Welcome to The Fountain, where it's our desire to connect with God, to grow in Jesus, and to engage the world in His name. As you listen to this message, we pray that you allow God to speak to your heart, and that His words might motivate you to life change. Come to The Fountain, a place where you belong.
You know, love does win, and the way love wins is through us. We're the vessels of that love. If we don't carry it into the world, it doesn't have a chance of winning, because we are who God has chosen to carry that love into the world. And so we have a great challenge before us in our nation and in our world, but God's big enough. And I don't think that He would have chosen us if He didn't think that we could succeed through Him. And so let's carry that love into the world. Well, last week, we began a new message series. We began the series on life together. And if you haven't heard yet, we are launching life groups in the next couple of weeks. And we're very excited about it. I'm very excited about all the things that are coming about this fall and beginning to pick back up with all of our regular activities and student ministry on Wednesday night, our children's ministry kicking back off. But life groups are where we're going to put our discipling. That's where that's going to happen, is in our life groups. And so I'm excited about getting involved with that. And we looked last week at the idea of sharing our lives with one another and the expectation that God has on us for doing that, and how we interrelate with our brothers and sisters, and how we are expecting not only, as the pastor said last week, to share the gospel, but also our lives with each other. Living in community with one another. That's the way we were created. God made us. We were created to live in community. That's the way He made us. And so Pastor Mike last week shared some very poignant illustrations about the benefits of doing life together. That's kind of my favorite tagline for life groups, is doing life together. And with all of our fellow believers, and if you missed last week's message, you can go online, visit our website, thefountain.church, and all of our weekly messages are there. So if you miss one and you want to get filled in, or you've got to go back and listen to something, please visit the website and do that. So we're kicking off life groups in just a few short weeks, and hopefully you have already been approached by one of our small group hosts to get involved. And if you haven't, hopefully you will very soon. Today you can sign up in the lobby. We have our sign-up sheets out there. If you have been dragging your feet and you haven't gotten back to me about hosting a life group, I would still love to hear from you. We can have as many life groups as we need in order for everyone to be able to get involved. But see me in the lobby today directly after. All of our small group hosts are going to be standing out there, and we'll have an opportunity to share with you a little bit about about our small groups, about our life groups, and when they'll meet, how they'll meet, what the emphasis of that group will be. So it's not too late. It's not too late to get involved. In fact, our expectation as leadership here at The Fountain is for everyone to be involved in a life group. Now, I know that's great expectations. That's a lofty goal. But here's the deal. That's where our discipleship is going to be taking place. There's quite a few of us on staff here, but there's not enough of us to keep intimately involved in everyone's life at The Fountain. But 4, 5, 6, 8, 12 of you can get together and be very intimate with one another and can grow and can develop in your walk with Christ through that ministry. And we can care for one another. We can have fellowship that we can't have in a large group like this. In fact, this setting on Sunday morning is not designed for that. And so if you come to me or you come to one of the leadership and you say, hey, I just don't feel like I've gotten to know anybody. I don't feel like I'm involved anywhere. Our first question to you is, what life group are you involved in? Because that is what we expect to happen from everyone. And that's how we're going to grow. That's how individually we're going to grow as believers. That's also how we're going to grow as a church, as a congregation, is through those life groups. And so our expectation is that you are involved in a small group. We're calling them life groups. But here's the thing. We talk about doing life together. Life is messy. How many of you here have a clean life? Everything's all perfect. All's good. There's never any... Tom, I believe it, Tom. You got it all together, brother. If I could just be like Tom. For me, for most of us, life is messy. You know, it's not cut and dry. There's stuff that goes on. And when we do that life with others, we not only share the good stuff, we share the mess too, don't we? And in life, when we do in life together and when we're involved in these life groups, we're going to be sharing the good, the bad, and the ugly. Right? But here's the thing. Like most things in life that has value, like most things that's valuable in life, most things that people covet and want to be a part of and want to have in their life, sharing life together with others in a meaningful, biblical, mutually beneficial way is going to require something of you. It's not going to be easy all the time. It's just not. And in Hebrews chapter 13, we're going to begin here with our scripture. In Hebrews chapter 13, I think I'm going to read just a little bit more than what's up on the screen. But beginning in verse 15, it says, through Jesus, therefore. And what that therefore is because he was just talking, the writer of Hebrews was just talking about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and about what that means for his church. Therefore, through Jesus, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips that confess His name. And here's the passage I really want to camp out on. And do not forget to do good and to share with others. So there's an expectation there. As His church, as believers, we're supposed to be doing good and sharing with others. Now, He's talking to believers here. The writer of Hebrews is not writing to a bunch of non-believers. He's writing to a church, to individuals who are part of a church. And so he's talking to people who are in the body. And he's telling us to share with each other. And now he makes a interesting statement after he says that. He says, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. So there is an expectation there, or an understanding in that passage, that as we do good and as we share with others, there's going to be sacrifice involved in that. There's going to be something that we're going to have to give up. He reminds the readers to do good and to share with others, and it's written to us of sharing our things, sharing our life, doing good in other people's lives is going to cost something. It's going to cost your time. It's going to cost your talents. It's going to cost... Sometimes we have to give monetarily or of our things to other people. And in doing that, we are sharing the good, the bad, and the ugly. We had that all worked out. So as we begin to look at our life group ministry, and as we begin to develop this ministry, and that's going to be a growing process. We had a meeting last week with some of the hosts. We got together and we talked about the direction we want to go in and how we'd like to see this develop within our church. And it will probably change and morph and evolve as we learn and as we grow. But as we do that, as we begin our life group ministries here at the Fountain, I want to take a look today at the sacrifices of a shared life. You see, as a believer, sacrifice isn't just something that we might come across or that we might experience or that could possibly be a part of our life. I believe that Scripture is pretty clear that sacrifice for a believer is necessary. It's something that's going to be expected of us. And we don't have to look any farther than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to know that there's going to be some sacrifice involved in faith, in our faith, in walking this life out together. I believe that it is impossible for us to grow in Christ without sacrifice. In fact, sharing with Christ in His sufferings in Scripture is not only expected, but we should consider it a joy according to Scripture. The sacrifices that we endure or the suffering that we endure as believers it should be counted as joy. Because in that, we are joining with Christ Himself, who suffered more than anyone for you and for me. And we don't have to look very far in Scripture to see this. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, we see that it talks about, I am crucified with Christ. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it talks about living a life that is a living sacrifice. In Luke chapter 9, and also I believe in the Gospel of Mark, he talks about taking up your cross daily. And that's an indication or an example, a representation of sacrifice that's required of us as believers, of the believers in Jesus Christ. And just as sacrifice is necessary for us to live a Christian life, it's going to also be necessary for us to live this life shared with one another. It's going to be a necessary part of life. But let's face it, just think about your life for just a moment. None of us really has our schedule where we, any time in our schedule where we're just not doing anything, where there's just not anything going on. You know, we're not sitting around and saying, oh, look, honey, they're starting life groups. Now we have something to do with our Tuesday nights. I mean, if I had a show of hands, there's none of us that are in that case. Our schedules are full. We're busy. We've got things going on in our life. You know, we don't look at that and say, hey, look, join a life group. That'll fill up that extra time that we have in our life. No, we got Little League, we got lacrosse, we got band rehearsals, dance classes, working late at the office, we've got extended family obligations, doctor's appointments, dentist appointments, other things that we do here at the church. We're all busy. All of us. All of us are busy. In fact, I would venture to say that many of us are too busy. We fill our life with busyness to the point where we don't have room for the things that are really important, where we don't have room for the things that are going to be life-changing and eternal. Sharing our lives together with one another is going to require us to sacrifice. I don't know about you, but Sunday afternoons are my times to nap. Anybody else with me on the nap thing? Good. I don't feel so lazy anymore. At least I'm lazy with company. I love, when I get home, to have a meal and just relax, especially on Sundays like this where there's a lot going on. I'm exhausted when I get home, and I just want to crash. And a lot of times, we use Sunday evenings to schedule things like life groups or like Center Shot Ministry and things like that. And it's a sacrifice. Oftentimes, I just want to stay at home. I don't want to go back out again. But when I do that, when I make that sacrifice, when I say, you know what, this is going to be worth it, and I get myself up off the couch or the easy chair or wherever, and I get back out and I get back in life with my fellow believers, I'm never regret it. It's never a regret. I've always enjoyed. I'm always like, this is what this is for. So sacrifice is going to be necessary for us if we're going to grow this life group ministry, if we're going to grow as a church. And I would dare to say, if you're going to grow as a Christian, sacrifice is necessary. Not only is sacrifice necessary, sacrifice is also Christ-like. We've already alluded to the fact that Jesus himself suffered greatly for you and for me. It was a part of what he did. So we can follow the example of Christ. He loved us, you and me, his creation, so much. He so desperately wanted to have fellowship and a relationship with you and with me that he sacrificed his very position in heaven. With all of its splendor, with all of its glory, with all of its comfort, to come down and have fellowship with us here on earth. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, we see this outline for us here. It says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. So as we relate to one another here on earth, we are supposed to have the same mindset as Jesus Christ had. So what was that? What was the mindset of Christ? Being in very nature a God, or being very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. That's how important a relationship with us was to him. That he would make that kind of sacrifice for you and me. That he would lay down the splendor of heaven to come down and give his life for you and for me. And now when I look at that, when I think about that, the idea of getting up out of the couch on Sunday afternoon to come back to church doesn't seem that big of a deal. It's not really that big of a sacrifice. He sacrificed it all to have fellowship with us. He knew that fellowship with us was going to be worth the price. He thinks that you are worth the price of sacrifice. Let me say that again. He thinks that you are worth the price. To fellowship with you was worth the price of that sacrifice. And here's the thing. He thinks that others will benefit from our sacrifice as well. He thinks that the others in these life groups and in our church and in this world are going to be worth the sacrifice. So we have to have the same mindset as Jesus Christ when we begin to build these life groups. Will we be willing to make the sacrifices needed to live in life, or to live life in community with our brothers and sisters? Because when we do, it is Christ-like. Christ's sacrifice, thirdly, also shows great love. John chapter 15, verses 9 through 13. Says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. This is Jesus talking here, straight from the mouth of God. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Now here's a key verse, one that you've heard before, I'm sure. My command is this. We have the great commandment here. My command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. He sacrificed. That's how he loved us. Through sacrifice. He gave himself up. He gave the splendor of heaven up to show us how much he loved us. And so his command to us is to love others as he has loved us. And then he goes on to make a qualification here. He says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for one's friend. Now when we hear that passage, we're often in my mind especially, I'm drawn to those who make the ultimate sacrifice for a friend. You know, I think about a police officer killed in the line of duty. Or I think about a sailor who died after having given his life vest to a comrade after their boat sunk and it cost him his life. And when we hear those stories, we think, man, greater love has no man than this. We think about a mother who would sacrifice her own body to save the life of her child. We think of this when we read this passage oftentimes and I would venture to say that many of you probably think the same way. We think about someone putting their life in danger, like to the point of peril, like laying down their life as death. And that is the example that he's given there, at least having the risk of that happening. And that's what he's talking about. Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life, like unto death, to a friend. And we've had a very recent example of this. Just very close to home here. And I want to show you a quick video clip of something that happened in Panama City Beach back in mid-July.
It's extraordinary video as complete strangers band together into a human chain to come to the rescue of a family caught in a riptide.
The water, when it starts going around, there's nothing that can save you.
80, yes, 80 beachgoers rushed into the water and joined hands when they heard the cries for help. It happened on a beautiful beach day in Panama City, Florida, on the Gulf Coast.
A young mother of four was enjoying a day at the beach when she saw two of her boys out in the water screaming for help. They were caught in a deadly riptide. Mom bravely swam to their rescue, but she got caught in the riptide as well. So did the boys' grandmother. Others tried to help. Altogether, 9 people were in danger of drowning.
The chain started in very shallow water close to shore. It went on for 300 feet in water about 15 feet deep. Jessica Simmons was having dinner on the beach when she heard the cries.
I was like, I can help these people. I grabbed a man's hand, another man, I don't even know who they were, and I grabbed their hands and just pulled the last girl in.
You can see someone exhausted being carried out of the water. Bystanders on the beach erupted in cheers when the last person was rescued. Once safely on shore, she collapsed on the beach.
They're passed out.
Among those rescued was 8-year-old Stephen Ursi and his mom, Roberta.
We got caught in the current and, well, our mom had to go in after me and my brother, and the people made a human chain and pulled us out.
As a mama, I'm supposed to be able to protect them and do everything, and I couldn't do it that day. I had to have help.
The boy's grandmother suffered a heart attack during the ordeal and is still in the intensive care unit. The whole family is forever thankful to all those strangers who formed a human chain that saved their lives.
Had we not done what we did, they would have drowned.
So those are the kind of stories we think of when we think of greater love as no man than this, than to lay down his life for a friend. There's no telling what the outcome for that family would have been if all of those strangers on the beach wouldn't have sacrificed their vacation, wouldn't have sacrificed their comfortable spot on the beach and probably their cold drink, and joined together and laid down their life, really. Took a moment, took a pause from what they were doing, and laid down their life to save those people. We don't know what the outcome would have done. And all of these illustrations, this one from Panama City Beach, the thing about the sailors and the police officers, all of those things indeed show, are an example, or a story of someone laying down their life and showing that greater love. But what I want to say today is that we don't have to put ourselves in danger of dying in order to lay down our lives for a friend. Our sacrifice of laying down our lives for a friend can be much less of a final thing than this and still demonstrate the greater love that Jesus was speaking of. What I'm saying here is when we forego a quiet dinner at home with our families to go and hang out with a brother who is hurting, we've laid down our life. We've laid down our comfort. We've laid down our desires. We've laid down our schedule to show love to a friend. When we take our lunch break to head over to visit a sister who's in the hospital, we have laid down our life for a friend, and we've showed this greater love. When we skip around to golf to go help a buddy move out of his apartment, we've laid down our life to show love, greater love, to a friend. When we postpone that date night to cook a casserole and make that trek across town to deliver it to a new mom and her baby in their home, we've laid down our life and showed that greater love to a friend. When we invite people into our own home, and here's where this is really going to speak to our life groups. When we invite people into our home, no matter the state of cleanliness that it's in, no matter how busy we are, no matter how tired we are after work, no matter how many chores that we really ought to be getting completed, no matter how early we have to get up the next day for work, we're sacrificing in those moments. And we're laying down our lives for a friend. We're joining together like these people in this video to rescue someone. In Panama City Beach this summer, 80 people sacrificed their comfort and their safety and their vacations, their comfortable vacation, to join together to save a family that was drowning. They laid down their lives to save strangers. So what we're asking you to do here, as we begin our life groups, as we look at launching this discipleship ministry here at the Fountain, what we're asking you to do is make just a few small sacrifices. To give up a little bit of your time. A day of comfort. A night at home. To join together with a dozen or so of your brothers and sisters and do life together. Lay down your life for a friend. So that they may be rescued. So that they may be helped. So that they may grow. You never know what kind of influence that small sacrifice might have. You'll never know what it might mean to someone who is hurting or looking for encouragement or needing some guidance in a certain area or just needs the prayers of a trusted friend. You know, there In Panama City, the people were out and they got caught in a riptide. And they were out in risk of drowning. Their lives were in peril. And people joined together as a group to save them from that. They were there, literally, they were a lifeline, a human lifeline for those people out there in the water. What life groups can be for you and for those in this church and for those in this community. They may not be out in the riptide drowning, but they may be out in depression, drowning. They may be out in some type of addiction, drowning. They may be wondering where God is in their life, and they may be searching for meaning, and they may be searching for purpose, and they may be just reaching out and saying, somebody, come help me. God, I need something. And what we do as a life group, when we come together on a regular basis, is we join a chain, or we create a chain when we join together, and we reach out, and you may be rescuing someone spiritually. You may be rescuing someone emotionally. You may be rescuing someone even physically through the relationships that we build and the sacrifices that we make in those life groups. In fact, you may be the one who gets rescued. You may be the one that needs that extra support, that time of prayer, that time of encouragement. You may be the one that gets rescued. We need to share our lives with one another. And this is going to require some sacrifice. Sometimes it may be a small sacrifice. I was thinking as I was preparing for this, I remember one time, you know, the sacrifice you have may actually be a physical sacrifice on your home. We had a small group that was meeting in our home. This has been years ago. And we had our dinette table, and then there was a sliding glass door. And then there was a picnic table on the deck in the backyard. And of course, you can't have life group without lots of food. And so we were eating and coming and going, and people were getting drinks and snacks and things like that. And one guy in our group, was an older guy, was in our group, a part of the group, and he had gone back and forth out of that door 4, 5, 6 times, I don't know. But every time we'd go through it, we'd close the screen door behind us. Well, we're all sitting out at the picnic table on the back deck, and all of a sudden we hear this crash, and we turn around, and Stephen had walked right through the screen door with his plate of food and just tore the screen door completely off of it. Off the hinges. And that was a form of sacrifice for us. I mean, it may, hopefully it won't, but there could possibly be physical damage happen to your house if you're having someone at your home. It may be a sacrifice of time. It may just be giving up some of your time. It may be giving up some of your comfort. Because I know some people don't really, you know, that's a little uncomfortable to get that intimate with someone. There's lots of different ways that we're going to have to sacrifice. But I want to tell you, it's worth it. It is worth it. And as I said, the expectation that we have here is for everyone to be involved in a life group. And right now, there's not enough sign-up sheets out there for everyone here to be involved in a life group. So what we're going to need is some people to step up and host and say, you know what, I'm going to make the sacrifice. I know that my Tuesday nights are busy, but I want to give one Tuesday night, or for the next couple of weeks, give my Tuesday nights to a life group. I want to invest in someone's life. I want to lay down my life to show that greater love to others. But I tell you, it's worth it. So when we wrap up here today, when we finish up, I'll see you in the lobby to get signed up for a small group. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for your love for us. We thank you for the sacrifice that you made for us, that we might have fellowship with you and enjoy all the benefits that come with that. Not only eternal life, but also the benefits we have here on this earth of life abundant because of the sacrifice that you made for us. And God, as we launch out into these life groups, I pray that you would impress upon our hearts that sacrifice is necessary for growth. That sacrifice is Christ-like. As we follow your example in this world. And God, I pray that we would experience the growth here at the Fountain, that individuals would grow, that spiritual maturity would come out of this, and that our congregation would grow and be able to impact, more greatly impact the kingdom for you through that growth. And God, I pray that if there's someone here today who is hesitant to get involved in life groups or you know, just doesn't really want to take that step, that you would prick their heart today and make the sacrifice of a shared life. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. You know, we talk about sacrifice. We talk about Christ's sacrifice for us. And today, as we join together in communion, the only way we're able to commune with God is through the sacrifice that Jesus made. And today, as we continue to worship through the sacrament of communion, we're reminded of the sacrifice that Jesus made for us through his broken body. And that through that sacrifice, the new covenant, the cup of new covenant that we enjoy, that we recognize during the Eucharist, is only possible through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So let's stand together. Let's continue to worship. Communion table is open to anyone who would come. Continue to worship together. And in just a few minutes, we'll wrap up and I'll see you in the lobby to get signed up for a life group. I pray that God has spoken to your heart today about getting involved in life groups and sharing with one another. And we will. We will have opportunities to get involved in these life groups and continue to grow. And I'll talk to you more about it out in the lobby today. So may God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and may he be gracious to you. May he look into your life and bring you peace that comes from being a part of a life group and sharing life together. God bless you. Have a great week. Thank you.